It's tough stuff, but the neat thing about it is the man's heart. God's affirmed him, put his hand on him, and neither one of us know what we're doing, but he does.
What is his title again? I forgot what it is.
Director of, tell him what your title is. Right? Field Director of Committee Support Services. I got it.
Field Director.
Committee Support Services. Okay, just a little few things I want to go through. There will be evaluation sheets when you get into the next session in your small groups where you can really go through these. We put some stuff on the front just to get you thinking. There's a whole back to write on. We really want your input. We want to continue to try to improve on this thing and get it where we're as comfortable as we can when we realize that we've got DIS and Cs out here, and they all have different needs, but together we have a lot of needs that are corporately felt, and that's the thing we want to do. So you'll have those. Yes, and for dinner, you know, if you want to eat tonight, sort of bring it with you, and it'll get you in. They always said that in the past, and it works, so I thought I'd try it. I just like to, let me tell you what we're going to do. I want to run through the week a little bit with you, and then there's some items that that Phil and I have through the week discussed. I gave you the staff candidate criteria for the look over, one of the most serious things that we faced in making selections. We all realize this is probably one of the toughest assignments you can get as a Metro director. It is tough stuff. We have some information. Bernie, did you get that director of development stuff to the guys?
I've got it right here.
Okay. We want to revisit that. We want to talk about key results areas. You've had some time to look at that. Women in the marketplace, you got a letter on that. And then staff conduct. If there's any discussion on those things that we need to do together as a group, we want to sort of hit those items. So that's what we'll be doing. I want to just run back through the week a little bit and see if we sort of saw the same things. The first thing that we dealt with was the DIS portion of the week. And basically that the purpose of that was to understand ourselves and the uniqueness of ourselves, the way God has created us. Do understand our differences and understand that it's not bad, it's okay. There also. And to be students of others so that we can become all things to all men. It's not labeling one another with DIS and C, but understanding how we manage one another as we understand our different psychological makeups and how we communicate with one another. So that was a basic need of all that. And I hope that we have enough information. I hope we have the tools. We got enough to start with. We probably got enough to get in trouble with. I had a time with Tom Huber before he left. A tough time. Was a little disappointed. Maybe you were too. And as I was talking with Tom in his room, I got some counsel from Carmen. He said, ask him questions. And so we did that. He asked me how I thought it went, and I asked him how he thought it went. And We finally got around to it, and I think it would probably have been good if he had sort of told us this, but this was the only second time he'd done it. And I said, we all knew that. And if he had told us, we would have probably went along with him a little bit better, but that's how that went. Victory over darkness, I feel that we got close to the mark on that. That was pretty good stuff. I think we'll be able to take that with us and use it. We have really enjoyed it. We had a great time at our table. The Larry Sanderson part, the part that I was most concerned with, I can't believe we had almost a home run on a computer. I think you heard what you needed to hear. I think we restored some confidence in one another and what's going on. And I think we'll be able to put in your hands that mini donor too. And Arnie and Paul had some more time with Larry, and I think we have a broader vision, and maybe we can do some other things with it that would be helpful. So that's important to us. So I was pleased with that. We're not there yet. We're getting awful close. I think we got one more run, month of parallel run, We're hoping to make that switch next month. I got to be careful on this one. Larry and Laura, this is just another case of our wife saving our bacon. Did I say that right? Oh, enough said. Go on. Love them. MPD and our dear brother Andy. What a faithful guy he is to our ministry. You know, Arnie, can you remember when we started, Paul, when we started with this thing? Oh, it's been, go ahead.
I remember a time we had a meeting before that whole meeting.
Bernie, where were we? Was that Cleveland or something? You know, and all that has come through the grace of the Lord for Andy's
family. Yeah.
He's a godsend.
He is. He's a brother. He's stuck with us through so many paradigm shifts. It's incredible. I mean, he's had dynamite us a couple times. It's really been tough stuff.
He's reserving some more dynamite that he hasn't been able to set off yet.
Right.
His motto is progressive revelation.
Right. Yeah, I tell you, I'm a week behind that guy.
Yeah.
He's a financial partner in the ministry, and if you want to write him a little note. He's a joint member. You know, he talks about we, and he's on board. It's just amazing. His heart really is.
You can tell his heart.
He's dropping a note. I really appreciate it.
One of the toughest things of this past year has been losing some guys. You know, and I think I don't want to see any more guys go. I mean, we're as sure as we're going to get guys. And part of the problem is our finances, and we got to do our part. And we're going to stay with you. We're going to hound you. Because we need more men, not less. And that's been, you know, those two things that stand in our way is dollar signs and leadership. And we've got the answer to the dollar signs if we stay with it. And if, you know, if you're struggling, get at this stuff. Stay with it until you get it done. We got a big job out there in front of us. God has invested a lot in all of us. And there's no reason for us to be any fewer of us doing this job. So I want you to stay with it, okay? 34 is enough. We need to start going the other way. And this is an important part of it. Testimonies were great during the week. We'll probably have more of them next year. I mean, as we work through this thing. Got a lot of blessings through that. Phil's messages. We know where he is. We're getting a picture of where we're going. Good stuff. As I look back through the week, and I was just sort of reflecting on it, you know, as what has gone on here this week is what's up there, I feel. I feel it's a totally different conference this year. It almost didn't matter who we had up here. What was going on there was great. And so, you know, it's just great stuff to see what's going on. And that's what this is all about anyway. And as we continue to improve on that. Any questions on this? You'll have time for the next couple hours in your small groups to talk about it more. But I think David?
In the past, we had a task force that was putting together mm-hmm. the governments, and we didn't have the...
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We go back in that direction.
You're going to find out my leadership style is not task force. And so what I want you to do is communicate in your areas. You'll be the task force to Charlie, Bernie, and Craig. And that'll be our task force. Really communicate with them. We'll get it done that way. If it's okay. You know, there's a danger in not using task force, because I use task force, I'm off the hook. You know, it's kind of like they planned it, and so it's their problem, but I don't work that way. So let's work through our channels, and let's stay with it. We'll develop our leadership that way, us primarily. Okay? Good. Why don't we go on into these few subjects? You know, we've got 15 whole minutes left, but we can squeeze it, because... We can go on it. But staff candidates, very, very critical part of where we're going. And we gave you a discussion draft of staff candidate criteria. This deals with probably more character than a lot of other things. You've had it. Any feedback on this? Bernie, would you mind come up and catching a few of these things on the flip chart here? Because we don't want to lose this. I would appreciate, though, if you think you could, when you get back, copy the stuff on your copy machine, mail in some of these things for us where we can have it in writing and work this thing through.
Yeah,
Bruce?
Question, in terms of this criteria, are these guidelines or are they requirements? I wasn't quite sure in terms of how to take them. If there's a lot of, I think the stuff is excellent in terms of what was there. Mm-hmm. The question is, are these going to be guidelines or the requirements they have to?
If there were requirements, none of us could get on staff today. So it's guidelines. Some of the stuff we all feel, you know, if we work on this document, there's probably going to be some things as we put this back in your hands that you say, you know, this is all good, but these eight things we cannot move on. We have to have this in a man. And
okay, so there may be some general guidelines, there are a few specific requirements.
And we all will determine what those are.
Okay, so that's the part of the process.
Right.
Right.
Comments along those lines would be real good, too.
I think back to the decision-making module we had from Bruce Cook way back when, and one of the things you do is you list your criteria. You decide which of these are must, non-negotiables, which ones then give weightings to the rest of them.
Apostle Paul.
Directors will be coming out of the committees. Is there somehow we can show a transition in the committees that for leadership into the medical director's spot or associate staff spot so that we can be training our people in the committees? Because some of us here only have about 5 to 10 years left. We've got to have a place.
Yeah, and part of what we're seeing is that if we can start identifying a guy 2 or 3 years down the line, seeing potential in the man and start getting with him and start bringing him through these areas, making sure that we're covering him, taking him on a track, so when we do present him as a staff candidate, he'll be ready to go. We'll work on, part of this is working on that process of when you identify him and where he is along the way. Some will be ready right away. Others will say, we need to do this, this, and this, not just disqualify him and say, that's it. Okay? Good question, Paul. Any other ones? So, if there's not, Bob?
I think that there should be a lot more consideration about the wife and what is shown in here.
Good.
One big mistake that was made when we came, when we had our interview, Lola was told, now, Lola, we don't expect anything from you as a staff wife.
I fell for that, too. Especially with him. Rosemary can just be Rosemary.
And once, if a wife comes with a husband on the staff and she realizes that this is not true, you can get lots of different reactions.
All benefit.
Okay, you got that on there? Good.
Good point.
Good point.
And that ought to be something that our wives have more input into than we have.
Great. We were a long ways from finishing this thing, and this is why we're bringing it before you. Would you all make sure that you, and I'm going to be looking to see who doesn't send something in. I know you're all interested in this, and we want to take a lot of time now, and you can scribble these remarks down, throw it on your copy machine, and pass them back to me. Appreciate that.
What's your time frame on this?
I'm Fred.
Fred.
Fram. We don't have a hard set, but the sooner we can get this thing back to you where you got, as you start your, or in your process of recruiting, you can do a better job at it. I'd like to see it, oh God, with all we got to do, I'd like to see it to end of June. That's, we got a lot of work to get to end of June. Larry?
Will there be a better track laid out also for associate staff, knowing that associate staff is the guy moving in this direction?
You bet. Yes. We're going to work. I've got to come. We've got to have some answers for him at President's Council on social associate staff stuff. There was another, Joe?
Let me reemphasize the importance of your wife going through this whole thing and getting her comments in writing. Because it's important that she be involved because we're doing some names and they need to look at it.
Yeah, and everybody's got them, so you know, be sure and get them off your wife. A couple more. Carmen?
I didn't see anything in there. It was an item on finances, but nothing about ministry partnership development, attitude, willingness, etc.
Barney? Craig?
As we do this, I would hope we keep the discussion copy on it forever because it needs to continue to develop and mature, but the need is to get it.
David?
Also, the thing I've noticed is that the attitude, which the word that I've heard often is we're hiring other people. I think the issue is also to look at the call of God in a man's life. In other words, I don't know if you communicated that to me, which I think is really important.
But that David, Dave Hill? Where's
Dave?
Oh, okay. Dave had a good little thing that he had on affirming the call. Maybe we can include that in it. Okay? Great. I think I want to stop it now because we've got a lot more things that are just as important. And I want Phil to come up here and we'll sort of, I'll sit where Phil is. And if you get too tough on him, he'll have me come back up here.
Stand up here again.
But I think the Director of Development, want to do that one first?
Okay.
It doesn't matter to me.
Director of Development, I've already gotten some input from you in writing. I appreciate that on possible candidates, and I just want to leave that open to you. We have a time period. We'd like to get them in, and I don't know that we can move by the next board meeting, but if we can, we will. So by the 20th, you could let us know. And do you have any questions?
Process. What's the process on that? Is there a search guy that's going to interview these people? What's the process for selection?
Okay, there's going to be, the process would be interviewing in the national office with the field staff directors and the board, and that would be, it's our decision, you know, it's not a board decision, but we would want this person to be acceptable and accepting and accepted by the board. My preference would be that we would go in-house. Delta Airlines has built a great airlines, hiring from within. That's what we did at Hyatt and Rhodes, too. So I'd really like to look in-house. If we can't, we'll look outside. God may bring us a great guy from another ministry, from another area of vocation, business.
He's in-house now. Andy.
Oh.
That is great.
Yeah. Andy's not available.
We've tried.
You know, I went down to EDM, the conference that Andy puts together, and there were 140 ministries represented. And it was who's who in evangelical America, the ministries he's working with. I mean, you know, and I think of the times he's come to the office and kind of sat around waiting for us, you know, and like here, you know, I feel like I don't appreciate him enough. He's really been used around the country. Yeah. Okay.
I was mentioning to him, as he was walking along, and I said, I no doubt you've been approached. He said, yeah, but nothing going on there. And I said, well, I think you should really be praying about this, too. He said, well, you pray for it, too. So it sounded like he was at least open. That's the way he sounded. You've seen this over and over. Guys, no way, I can't do it. Mm. You keep with him and keep praying about it. Let him keep praying. Sometimes an impossibility happens.
Yeah, there are a lot of impossibilities sitting in this room.
Luke 1:37 is the verse.
Pardon?
Luke 1:37 is the verse.
Read it.
Nothing's impossible with God.
Okay, amen.
That's right. Good. Okay. That's it. Okay. Now, the next thing we talk about, I just want to be sure if there's any questions on the statement of conduct. Good. No questions? When I brought this up to you today, I was going to ask Ken Corco if he'd lead us in the oath. And... But you know, there's some things you don't want to kid about.
Phil, excuse me, would you repeat that? Ken didn't hear you.
Yeah, he did.
I said, you know, the caisson, this boy was in a heavy, I was going to ask if you would lead us in the oath on the statement of conduct. But these are the things that we labor through, we all do, and submitting to authority is something we all are on our knees about every day, not easy. And so as we go, we need to, the authority we submit to is the Lord, but this is what the organization has asked of each one of us, and so we're trying to submit to it, want to submit to it. Yes, sir?
Would it be best not to say why the change was made that it was made? Why it was left out? It's all right to have it.
If frankly, the way that came up was somebody was not explained about one of the persons that came on the board recently did not know about that. And he was carefully told about everything in the statement of conduct. And the person that told him was very precise and is a very precise individual and is the one that wrote this probably. But he didn't mention possession. Now, when I went through it, I mean, for me, use and possession went together. For this individual, he was very willing to live by the use, but as far as possession, in his church without walls, he wasn't sure that that was what he didn't know about that understanding, and it would cause him to change a lot of what he does with people who are lost. And also there was a member of the board that said, yeah, I've always wondered what we do with that cooking wine that we have. We cook all kinds of desserts, whatever, you know, gravy and so forth. And so there was a feeling that it was not particularly relevant to what we were trying to achieve.
I agree. I just, that thought process of the church without the wall came through to my mind as the answer to that question.
Yeah, and I think this is something that international is facing also. It's a tough issue with international.
Especially
international. It really is. You didn't have to sugarcoat it, Joe. What are we doing next?
I do have a suggestion,
and women.
I do have one suggestion, is that we have two or three guys from here meet with two or three guys on the board eventually, because this has been a top-down thing. And I've never been in agreement with it, but it's come down from the top. And I think that we can hand fluid and do it if we get a voice in it, but I realize this is a big issue, Bill.
Yeah.
And it may take a year or two to do that, but I think this is out of the past and it's not helping.
Yeah, I'll take those comments under advisement. I appreciate that. Ed?
Is there going to be a supportive qualifying statement behind this that explains why we're going this way? On the biblical references and so forth.
On the state of conduct?
Is the why we set the state of conduct that way?
No.
So, just like the matter of speaking in tongues, we've never gone public to say why we're opposed to speaking in tongues. And so we don't have a basis from which to come when somebody in the field presents to us their argument.
Yeah, there really isn't one that I know of. There isn't one.
Yeah. So the board is taking a firm position on that. Not only say that as a company paper, but someone we get our hands on, or operations, whatever.
Yeah, I think it's a difficult issue, because if I ask you in this room, how many people do you have involved in your local work who are charismatic? The question is, do they speak in tongues? Where do they speak in tongues and so forth? And I think this rule gives us a lot of freedom, frankly. Because I can't tell you. I talked to some guys in a particular city represented here, and they said, well, you know, we're from a charismatic church. And I said, well, do you speak in tongues at the meetings? And they said, no, there's never been a problem. You know, they're just one of the soldiers out there. And so I think we want to be careful with this. I got a letter from somebody that said, I want to come and talk to you about the charismatic problem in CBMC. And I wrote them back, and I said, I'm really open to talk about any questions you have, but what's our problem? You know, I knew we had a problem. And so I think there's some things that I think we might want to leave alone, but this is...
I mean, if somebody specifically explained at the top as why that decision is made, I mean, some basis for it, we might not take just a page to do it, but it firmly anchors in that position rather than having a statement of conduct.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. One, we want to be sure we're biblically based in what we're doing. I think the thing I want to be cautious of is I've had these debates with friends, and I had all my scripture, and they had all their scripture, and what I found was great division and great anger and hurt feelings, and frankly, we had some soldiers that packed their tents and went home. So I think we need to be sensitive. There are areas that are divisive, and sometimes the more we focus on them, the more divided we get. But I'm not discounting what you're saying.
Concrete things could be stated there that we could go back to for reference. This is argument to us, not every week, but I mean, not many months go by until we're dealing with it. Mm-hmm. So, the guys love it. They put aside 12 hours to come into the CNC, so they don't have to pick up. Mm-hmm. But they still pick each other. So, I'm not trying to defend them.
Sure.
You just need an answer.
Okay, and it's one that I find very difficult. I think you can feel my discomfort with it, and I don't want to be I don't want to give it less than we need to give it, but I also am concerned that we get on with the battle, get on with the war. But these are tough issues, Larry.
Well, we got to keep in mind this is for staff and not for just the membership too. You know, there may be these are standards for us. But, you know, most other evangelical organizations have statements of conduct, too. We're not the only ones that have these things. A lot of other groups, some have really had some experts who put very succinct reasoning down on paper. And it might be as we, can interact with other evangelical organizations, we can, as you rub shoulders with other ministry presidents, wouldn't be a bad idea to get some.
That's a good idea. I appreciate that, because these are issues that we're all facing. Thank you. Okay?
I don't agree that it's just for staff. I think it's for organization and at least community communication through it. My problem with the way it is now is it really feels like the law. It doesn't deal with the heart. And I would agree with Ed that we need to be very clear in our reasons for our positions. The charismatic issue, to me, as I explain it, we chose a non-charismatic doctrine. Use a charismatic doctrine. There are places for that. We are a non-charismatic organization. And I think we can explain that in an effective, productive way and communicate with men and let them choose. Mm-hmm. But it feels like the law, the way it is now, really doesn't explain much. Mm-hmm. It doesn't let guys respond with their heart.
I would like to challenge you to think that we are as charismatic as you can get.
Amen.
You're talking about something completely different than being filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit, I hope.
Yeah.
So I'd encourage you not to use the word charismatic, but just refer to speaking in tongues. Because it might be, you quoted the scripture, it might be divisive.
Yeah.
And that's obvious it is. So let that be our only reason for not doing it. It's divisive.
You know, frankly, I didn't expect this kind of comment. I hadn't heard Joe's comment on this, and Ed's and some of the others. Here, can I just ask you, and don't raise your hand to do this, but if this is an issue in the local level, and you feel like this is an issue, the charismatic issue, and whether it would help you to have more definition in that, can you just indicate, is this an issue? More definition? Okay. It gives me an idea. Thanks. Anything else?
If this is staff affirms this going on, it probably should be among our staff requirements. Now you see that in there. And so again, at some point in the process, they need to be aware of that, so it's not handed to them at the very end.
Well, that. Which one? The charismatic?
No. Yeah.
The statement of conduct.
As you go through.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay. On the women's issue, what we attempted to do is to write out where we are and where we can go with this issue. This is not an issue that's closed. I think it is open several times in executive staff meetings with FSDs, with the board. It's one that we're very sensitive to. And I can't really tell you where we're going to be 10 years from now. I don't know. I think that we'd like to all be praying about this. And if you have specific input on it, I would sure appreciate having it. If you have a feeling about it, these are difficult issues. We don't want to lose our thrust with what we're doing, but yet if we don't recognize women in the marketplace, we're not recognizing the marketplace as it exists today. But we don't want to dilute what we're doing. It was interesting to me, as I said the other day, as I outlined the things we are doing, it's amazing to see as you open up that three-page flyer of the schedule for the Chattanooga meetings. This side says women's meetings, and there are about six of them. Bible studies at noontime, where Mary Moore teaches business women in the marketplace at noontime. And at follow-up, at the outreach meeting, there were women there following them up. So there's a lot of things we're doing right now that we can do within the confines of what we are that we're not doing most places very extensively. So I think we've got to take a look at what we're doing and how we can expand that as we go. And then this one needs to be one we need to be really in prayer about. I don't see, I start to say, I don't. If there was something on the drawing boards to change what we're doing, if the board were looking at this and ready to change in April or something, I would obviously feel compelled to come and talk to you about it and get your input. And it wouldn't be now, it would have been months ago. These are tough issues. Any comments or questions?
Is there somebody that's really kind of focusing on how to develop the women's
industry?
When somebody comes to me, you know, is it their focal point?
Let me tell you what I thought about that. I think that there's some things, if we leave the grassroots level and let go and let people be involved with what they're doing and kind of let those things go and so forth and take a look at it. If we bring somebody in top, to kind of top down this, I think the people that you could communicate would be your FSDs. They're involved in it. You know, they're involved in the oversight of the ministry, and they'd be the ones to communicate on. But we don't have any one of us in the national office or anywhere else on the board that is singled out to look at this issue. It may come to that. Maybe that'd be what we need to do. I'm not closed to that, but we don't have that now. Anything else on the women? Okay, what's our last one?
The KRA, if there was any.
Oh, KRA.
The strategic planning, if there was any.
Anything on the strategic planning that you want to address or question or we could look at? We're not doing strategic planning this April. As I think you could appreciate from what you saw, we're going to see if we can get some of the things done we've been working on getting done. And we hope to resume that at the convention. We may not resume at the convention, maybe January, before we resume some of the planning we've been doing. Again, on that, any input or questions you have or any comments or additional areas, we sure like to be involved in that. Let us know what those would be. Thank you. Well, we want to keep our ear to the ground. And
I like to say we really need to trust Phil because we're in a lot of pressure in a lot of different places. And you need to go to him if you have a question in these areas. And he'll talk to you. But there's a lot of pressures going on from everywhere now, and it's not easy. And it's very difficult to balance all these things. And so we need to pray for our brother here to be.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do feel like you are that way. And I don't always respond. If I'm stopped in the hall and somebody talks about something, I don't always respond with all of the attention I'd like to. And when I first got Steve's letter, I had to confess to you, I had to put it down. And then I had to pick it up. But I really want to do that and to work through that communication challenge that we all have. Because there's some things I've sent you that you had to put down and get your hands off and get some prayer time. But we've got to be open. I've got to be open. Fred's open. We've got to be listening to you on these kinds of things. And I think your letter, letter approach to us, and I think that every letter that's been written to me I've answered. I hope to your satisfaction. And John Mosley, you may be the exception on that. I think that we've addressed several of the things that you raised in your last letter and have taken several of your suggestions. And I don't know that I specifically answered that. But we have some time tonight we set aside to talk about that. But like, and Steve's, these are continuing issues. And they're not closed. But I've been looking at every aspect of ministry in the last year. Jerry?
So could you maybe go at a different way, the team concept versus the top-down? And some of you said were good, but in terms of, you know, of ideas, thoughts, issues, it's just not clear to me an acceptable way to deal with things without respecting necessarily the authority structure.
Mm-hmm. I think the way we would like to work and the way Fred and Bernie and I work and in his area and in Craig's area and so forth is that we feel open to you, but If you write me a letter, as Steve did, he wrote me a letter about something he knew I was concerned about. He touched base, I believe, with Craig, and Craig knew something of his concern about that. Craig was copied on the letter that Steve wrote to me. But there wasn't a feeling that Steve had to deal with Craig and get Craig's permission to write me a letter. And when I called back Steve, you know, I tried to keep Craig in contact, but I didn't have to call Craig and say, Craig, you know, could I talk to your man out there in the field? Because I felt like we're on a team. So I think there's a delicate balance there. Because we can have absolute chaos if everybody is just talking to everybody. And if I'm leaving out, and I've done that, and I've had to give Fred a memo that says, oops, I missed talking with you about that. We have chaos if we don't follow an orderly progression of leadership in who we're speaking with. But we need to be careful of that. Craig? Yeah, I think it's when you're dealing, and then on the other hand, the thing I appreciate about these guys, Craig and Fred and the other FSDs, is I've had conversation with all of you, many of you, about very personal things, your feelings about the ministry that are important, that we just got aside and got some time on. And they feel that I'm loyal to them, and they're loyal to me, and we have a loyalty and a teamwork among each other that we can get. You know, if you want to talk to me about a hard issue, let's talk. So we've tried to have an openness, and I think that's where we'd like it to be. That's where we deal on the executive staff, and we'd like to foster that throughout the ministry. Now, if somebody comes to me and says, you know, I really need a raise, and these are the reasons. Well, I wouldn't run back to national office and say, yeah, you know, I don't have the authority to give you the raise. Because I've got to check with these guys. And that's incumbent upon me to do that. But I think we have an open door to talk about things. And also, we're sensitive about going around people. If you don't like the answer you've gotten, you know, we've got to be careful that we don't undercut other people. But also, the kind of management, if you got to go through me to get anywhere else, would like to not have that type of, working relationship.
I didn't have a cord to jerk on him, so I just stood there for a while, and it's amazing how that communicates, isn't it? We don't want to get into any more of your time, because there's some stuff that you need to be taken care of. So we're just going to wrap it up now and look forward to being with you this evening. Let me just read from Philippians for you. I said, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it into completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more, your knowledge in knowledge and depth of the insight, so that you may be able to discern what is the best, and you may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of our God. And that's how I think about all you. Shall we pray? Father, just thank you for this special time together. Thank you for these men that you've called out of corporate America to serve you back in that same environment. Thank you for the cost that they've decided to pay. And we really didn't know what that was until we got into it. We thank you for that. But because of that, we realize your grace, the empowerment of your Holy Spirit. We pray we continue to strive for excellence in our lives and the call that you've given to us, that we remain focused on the marketplace call that you've given to us, the uniqueness of CBMC in reaching men in the marketplace. We thank you for the heritage that we have. We thank you for Joe and reminding us of that. But he also told us that there's some tenacity that we need to have to stay in the play. For we're called to a tough mission field. It's one that we're not responsible for the fruit of, but we're responsible for the faithfulness in, and we thank you for that. We pray that you would continue to be with us as we wind down this very special time that we've had. We thank you for these brothers in our hearts that have one in oneness. Continue to pray for our dear brother Barry as he heads back to home, for Liz, the family, as they deal with this very heart-wrenching experience in their life. And God, we just pray that your hand would be underneath them. We think of those who weren't here this week with us, who were in the past, and our heart goes out to them. We pray that you would continue to meet their needs, direct their lives, Father, in a special way. And we just thank you again for what you've done amongst us, what you will continue to do with us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.